Returning to a verse that we've read a few times in connection with these studies in biblical interpretation and getting benefit from our Bible reading, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And it's that last statement that I want to focus on today, because we're going to be talking about the necessity of interpreting the Scripture by the Scripture. We need to let God's Word speak for itself, and as we've been mentioning a number of different things in relation to Bible study, how we can get the most benefit out of it, we want to talk about something else in connection with that this day. And that is the need of, as the verse puts it, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Charles Hodge paraphrases this statement, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, by, quote, explaining the things of the Spirit in the words of the Spirit. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 is setting forth a very valuable and an important rule for understanding God's Word and for interpreting God's Word and finding out the true meaning of God's Word. And that is namely that one part of the Scripture is to be explained by another part of the Scripture. Scripture sheds light upon other Scripture. If you have a Bible with little cross references, and I hope that you do, and if you don't, that you'll get one, because it can be very, very helpful. You will see that in various passages of Scripture, many of the verses, there are letters of the alphabet beside a certain word. For example, at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says in my Bible, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And beside the word called, there is a little letter, the letter C. And when I look in the margin, the middle margin of my Bible, that gives me a cross reference to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And when I go to Romans chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. There's that word again. And so you have another cross reference here, in my Bible at least, where the word called has the same letter C beside it. But this time it cross-references the verse that we've just been to, which is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1, but it also mentions another one, Acts chapter 22, verse 21. And when you look up that verse, it mentions, the Lord said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And there you can suppose that the Lord is referring to the call that he gave to Paul in a particular sense as an apostle to the Gentiles to minister to them. Now, are these the only cross references that you should use? Obviously not. You get yourself a good concordance and look up a lot of these words, especially a concordance that will list the same Greek words together, because there might be a different word in the English that's used in one place. And if you cross-reference that with another word, you might think, ah, that's the same word, it's talking about the same thing, but it's not, because it's a different word altogether. So the point that I'm making is that comparing Scripture with Scripture is really, really important. It's a general principle, and it's expressed in the text here in 1 Corinthians 2:13. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. A lot of times in your Bible reading, you have to lay things alongside other things. Now, you may not have four or five Bibles, but then again, you might. And if you do, then sometimes it will be helpful. Some people want to be all modern about this and use the computer. That's fine. But if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, which I like to do, you can set out three or four Bibles and you can have them turned up to, for example, a parable that the Lord has given in all four Gospels. And you can look at what it says in Matthew and then in Mark, in Luke and in John. You're going to find differences. You're going to find things that are in Matthew that are not in John, that are in John that are not in Mark, and so on. But by doing this, you're going to get the mind of the Spirit opened up far more to you. And that's what we mean by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We don't want to just have a vague knowledge of the Scripture. We want to have a working knowledge of God's Word. And the more you go on in your Christian life, the more you should know of your Bible. The more you should understand the contents of your Bible and be able to turn up portions in the Scripture without going to that little help at the front of your Bible to find out where the book or the chapter is. Now again, I'm not against people using helps, and if it helps people, fine. I think it's good to have such a working knowledge of your Bible that you can find a book of the Scripture fairly quickly without having to consult some other page. But however you do it, compare Scripture with Scripture. Now the Bible is largely a self-explanatory book, believe it or not. But you'll find that there are things that can be explained in Scripture by other Scriptures, by consulting other Scriptures. We've already talked about this in relation to the Old Testament and the New Testament. You'll not be surprised when you know that the apostles only had in their day the Old Testament to find that when they were quoting the Bible, they were quoting from the Old Testament. Go to Acts chapter 2 and the sermon of Peter on the day of Pentecost, and you'll see there that he quotes a number of times from the book of Psalms. And why does he do that? He does that because Christ, whom he is preaching, is talked about in the book of Psalms. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is set forth in the book of Psalms. And for example, he quotes Psalm 16 that refers to the resurrection, that thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And he's talking about the fact that the Lord Jesus was not left in the grave, but that he came again from the dead on the third day, according to the Scripture. And what is he doing there in Acts chapter 2? He's comparing the Scriptures. He's consulting the Scriptures, but he doesn't just quote one place, he quotes a number of places. And you'll find that when there's difficulty experienced in one portion of Scripture, it can, I say, not always, but it can often be discovered, it can be resolved, this difficulty, by a comparison with other passages, by consulting other passages, by examining other passages where the same or maybe similar words occur, or where the same or similar subjects are dealt with. They might be dealt with at greater length, or they might be explained a bit more clearly. For example, in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, there's an expression which is simply the righteousness of God, right? The righteousness of God. And you might say, well, what does that mean? What is the righteousness of God? Well, go to every other place where that expression occurs in Paul's epistles. Go to the other Scriptures, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and so on and so forth, and you'll be able to put all these things together. And as someone said, having done so, there is no need to consult heathen authors. You see what God says about it in these various places. Now, God has intended us to study His Word. The Lord intends for us to search the Scriptures. He wants us to find out what the Bible teaches. And so we do that by reading it not just consecutively all the way through, but by comparing various Scriptures with other Scriptures. That's such an important thing. In my ministry, it's often been commented upon by people that I use an awful lot of Scriptures. Hopefully you agree with that. I use a lot of scriptures. Now, why do I do that? I do that because I believe it's important to let God speak for himself. And if we're going to find out what God thinks about anything, then we better get away from what I think about it to what God says about it. It's important that we let the scripture speak for itself. And I don't apologize for using scriptures. If I have a fault, it is in using too many scriptures. But wouldn't you rather have too many scriptures is not enough? I would. I think I'd rather say about someone's ministry, he quotes too many scriptures, rather than he never quotes the scriptures at all. He doesn't back anything up by scripture. We need to do that. We need to compare scripture with scripture. Now, I know that there are scriptures that don't say a lot about certain subjects. There are other things in scripture that it talks a lot about. And you're going to find that the principal subjects, the important topics that are treated of in the scripture, are presented all the way through. Some of them are talked about very briefly in one place, and then they're talked about far more fully in another place. They're talked about in different connections and with different accompaniments in the several passages where they occur. But this is all part of God's design. We're not God. We can't dictate to the Lord, Lord, why did you put this in here? Why did you not put that in there? Why did you not talk more about that? Why did you talk so much about this? That's God's business. That's up to the Lord what he put in his word. But every word of God is pure. And every word of God is true. And every word of God is important. And so we must read the scriptures, we must study the scriptures, and we must compare the scriptures. Again, to consult this verse, that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, if we're going to apprehend God's mind as it's fully made known on any particular subject, we have to collect together, we have to actually collate all the portions in which it is referred to, or in which a similar thought or a similar sentiment is expressed. And in that way, we're going to arrive at a clear knowledge of God's revealed will. It was Arthur Pink who said that the Bible is somewhat like a mosaic. You know what a mosaic is? Whose fragments are scattered here and there through the Word, and those fragments have to be gathered by us and carefully fitted together if we are to obtain the complete picture of any one of its innumerable objects. And so there are many places in the Bible that can be understood only by the explanations, or if you like, the amplifications, the further light that's shed upon it by other passages. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I hope that we do that. I hope that we try to do that. That we actually study the Bible and look up cross-references to subjects. And if, for example, you read in the New Testament something that is referred to from the Old Testament, that you would actually go to the trouble to turn that up and look at it again. Because that's exactly what the writer or the preacher is doing. He's referring you back to that scripture. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. And I'll show you how important this thought is. Hebrews chapter 1. When you go to verse 5, Paul writes, "For unto which of the angels said he," that's God, "at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." And that is actually a reference from the second Psalm. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And then he says, verse 5, "And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." And that is also a cross-reference from the Old Testament. Then he says, and again, verse 6. And in verse 7, "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire." Now where does he say that? He says that in Psalm 104. But you can only know that by turning that up and So it is all the way down this portion. And in other scriptures, he's referring to what God has said in other places. He's giving a quotation from another place. And it's good for us to look those up and to see how the Bible all fits together. Now, as we're studying the Bible, we have to remember that it is one book. I've said this before, and I'm repeating it today again deliberately. The Bible is not just a whole jumbled up collection of thoughts. It is one book. There is a unity in the Scripture, and the more you read it and the more you study it, the more you realize that. Especially you look at the types and the ceremonies as they relate to Christ, you understand just what a wonderful unity there is in the Scripture. And that means that the Bible requires to be studied as a whole, as an entire book. Again, it's not a good thing just to study only the New Testament. We need to study the whole of the Bible. And one part of the Bible has to be compared with another if we are to obtain a proper apprehension of divine revelation. Now, in his book on the interpretation of Scripture, Arthur W. Pink set forth four great things about the value of comparing Scripture with Scripture. And he used four big words. I'm going to give those big words to you. He said, the value of comparing Scripture with Scripture appears in the corroboration which is afforded by it. And you know what corroboration is. You know what corroboration is as far as evidence is concerned. If there's something being brought to a court as a court case, it's not a good thing if the prosecutor only has very flimsy evidence. What he wants to do is bring in corroborating evidence. He wants to bring in other evidence that will help to establish the point that he's trying to make or to secure the conviction that he's trying to secure. So we talk about evidence that is corroborating. That means it backs up that which is his thesis. And so that's what Pink is talking about there. When you're comparing Scripture with Scripture, various parts of the Bible, putting it all together, it corroborates. It helps to establish the thought that is being set forth in one particular passage. You bring in these other passages to support it. And then Scripture has to be compared with Scripture for the purpose of elucidation. You say, boy, these are big words, aren't they? Elucidation. You know what elucidation is? It is really to shed light upon something or to make it clear. When you elucidate the Scriptures, you make them clear. And so, when you're comparing Scripture with Scripture, it is for that purpose as well, to make clear what the thought is. And then comparison of Scripture with Scripture is useful for the purposes of amplification. Not only does one Scripture support and shed light upon another Scripture, but very often one passage actually supplements and augments another passage. So there's this amplification that is given, and we'll come to that in due course. And then the comparing of Scripture with Scripture is valuable for the purpose of harmonization. That is to say, there has to be a preserving of the balance of truth. You know, one of the things that many Christians are given to, and preachers are not immune from this, and that is lopsidedness. You know what something is when it's lopsided? It's not balanced. And so you have people who have their pet themes and their pet ideas. With some men, it's prophecy. And with some Christian groups, it's prophecy. That's all they talk about. They can't have a conference. They can't have a conference. But they have to talk about their view of what they call the rapture. It has to come out every single time. It's almost as though someone has written it down. Unless you speak about the rapture at this conference, you'll not be invited back. That's what happens. That's all they want to talk about. Now, do I want to talk about the Lord's coming? Yes, I want to talk about the Lord's coming. I want to live in the light of the Lord's coming. But the reality is, as Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, as the angel actually said when Jesus had gone, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which has gone up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So what did he say? Stay here on this mountain because his coming is imminent. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. But there's a lopsidedness with many people when it comes to these things. And so they just go on and on and on about the same subject all the time. And with some, as I say, it's prophecy. With others, it's something else. They have their pet themes and their pet subjects. And there's a lack of balance. And so there really is a lack of comparing Scripture with Scripture. There is a honing in on just maybe one or two things. And that's the constant theme that they rabbit on about all the time. That's not a good thing. There's got to be, yes, a comparing of Scripture with Scripture, but it will be valuable, as Pink points out, for the purposes of harmonization or preserving the balance of truth. And one of the areas in which we have to preserve that balance is in preaching the gospel. We know that the Bible teaches predestination, it teaches election, it teaches that God has a people whom Jesus Christ came to save, to secure their salvation by his work on the cross. But the same Bible that talks about election and predestination also talks about believing on Christ and repenting. And it talks about preaching the gospel to every creature. It talks not only about the sovereignty of God, but it also talks about the responsibility of man. And those two are like tram lines that never meet. They're both in the Bible, and the balance of truth has to be preserved. Arthur Pink, whom I'm mentioning here, was actually a preacher, and he eventually ended up, I believe, leaving the ministry as far as the pastorate was concerned, and gave himself over and devoted himself to writing and study. People can have their own judgments about the wisdom of that, whether he should have done that. My judgment is, if you're called to the ministry, you don't just leave it. You continue to minister. But there may have been circumstances in his life that I don't know anything about. One thing I do know is that when Pink went from various churches to other churches, that is, when he was a pastor for a short period or maybe for a longer period, he used to try to find out for himself if there was a lack of balance in that church on a particular doctrine. And he states it himself in his studies in the Scripture that when he went to a particular church where all they ever seemed to talk about was election and predestination, he would preach a lot about evangelism. He would preach a lot about going out and reaching men with the gospel in order to bring them to the balance. But then again, when he went to churches that were of a more Arminian bent, and where there was never any talk about election or predestination or God's purpose in saving men, he used to preach a lot about that subject. Again, to redress the balance. Because there's always that swing of the pendulum. And if we're comparing Scripture with Scripture, if we're keeping this before us all the time, the need to find out what the Bible says everywhere about every subject, it's going to keep us balanced. So there's going to be harmonization. Now, we haven't time to deal with all four of these today, but I want to deal with them as the Lord would help us. And so, in the first place, as we're thinking about this comparing Scripture with Scripture, I just want to mention the value of comparing the Scriptures because of the corroboration that is afforded thereby. Now, the Bible doesn't need any authentication. It's good enough for God to say this is his word. I believe that. These are the words of one who cannot lie. We receive them as such. We bow unreservedly to the authority of Scripture. But there's no question that when we study the Bible and we find the same doctrine dealt with in various places and made clear by one Scripture as compared with another, it increases our faith. It helps us in our understanding. And we notice that the Lord Jesus used that method in John chapter 5, because he showed that the Jews' unbelief was without excuse. That is, their lack of belief in his deity. And he showed that they had no excuse by appealing to a number of different witnesses who backed up his claims. And let me just mention this very quickly. John chapter 5, from verse 32. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. And he's talking about John the Baptist. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So here he is saying, look, just as the Old Testament says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, I'm telling you that John the Baptist has witnessed to my deity. But more than that, the works that I do witness to my deity. And furthermore, verse 37, the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. And he goes on to talk about the Scriptures. Verse 39, search the Scriptures. That doesn't mean that you read two or three verses and then set the Bible down. Searching is going through it as with a fine-tooth comb. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So notice this. There's the testimony of John the Baptist. There's the testimony of the works that Christ did. There's the testimony of the Father. And by the way, the Father attested that Christ was his Son on at least a couple of occasions at his baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration before Peter, James and John, he said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So there's that testimony. And then he says, look, there's the testimony of the whole of the Scriptures. These are they which testify of me. Comparing Scripture with Scripture affords us corroboration, various witnesses. And you'll see that in other parts of Scripture as well, when the apostle was establishing the fact of Christ's resurrection. In Acts chapter 13, he not only quoted Psalm number 2, verse 7, but he also appealed to Psalm 16 and verse 10. You'll see this in various places where there is an appealing to various witnesses to corroborate the testimony of the Scripture. And the Lord help us in our study of the Bible to do what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that we need to do, and that is to compare spiritual things with spiritual. If I'm preaching the word, I want people to know this is what the Bible says. This is what God says. Here's the evidence that this is what God says. Don't just take it from me because I say it makes it true. No. It has to be by consulting the Scriptures as a whole and in every part, and thus we will find the mind of the Spirit. So may the Lord help us in that way.